You're listening to an Aeon podcast.
Welcome to episode 10 of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series. Throughout this series, Jodie Gozard, formerly Jodie Chapman, a respected Australian naturopath, speaker, author and mentor, has been sharing her wisdom on the 7 steps to finding freedom from anxiety, depression and ADHD. In this episode, she talks to us about how everyday toxins have the ability to overload us. She'll tell us what they are, how they can affect our sleep, moods and hormones, and what effects long-term exposure can ultimately cause. Hello, Jodie, and welcome. So, toxins. Let's start with what they are and how frequently we come across them.
Well, this is an everyday occurrence, isn't it? I mean, think about automotive fuel that you're exposed to every day when you're living in an environment where it's suburban type, you know. When we do exposure to toxins type tests, you see xylene, toluene, styrene, good old-fashioned old polystyrene cups that we used to make things out of, parabens and phthalates that are in makeups and cosmetics and different products that are in paint solvents. The list is really endless. The chemicals that are sprayed on the food with pesticides, cleaning products, which are xenoestrogens. So they mimic the shape of an estrogen molecule in the body and cause hormonal problems. And then you've got, of course, overload of minerals. So some minerals compete with each other. Copper to zinc compete with each other. And zinc is absolutely necessary for our brain neurotransmitters, our immune system, you know, our whole body function. But copper is also necessary, especially for dopamine and adrenaline production. However, copper and zinc on the periodic table, they are the same level. And they will actually compete with each other in the body. So copper, think about the copper that's in our copper pipes that are leading to all of the homes that have been built after all of these, you know, the last 100 years or more. And if we're using tap water, often we're getting some copper absorption from there. Copper then has a competitive response with zinc and it can plummet your zinc. And a high copper to zinc ratio causes panic and anxiety disorders. So it's one really common thing that leads to anxiety and panic attacks that people have no understanding or even, you know, have ever heard of. I had one patient who came to see me for, I think, parasite initially, and we resolved all of that. Fantastic mental health. She came for gut health. She's a really positive, happy kind of lady, just was dealing with fatigue and gut health. 2 years later, she calls me and she says, there's something really wrong. I don't know what's going on, but I was driving along the freeway and all of a sudden a panic attack came over me and I instantly froze and stopped in the middle of the freeway. And she could not get her foot off the brake pedal. And I have other patients who it seems to be this anxiety, especially around driving, who cannot drive on the motorway again. They can't drive next to trucks. They can't drive over a bridge. All of these different kinds of fears start to come up and they don't know where it came from. All of a sudden it starts to happen to them. And little do they know that somewhere they've been exposed to copper, or they've been exposed to copper so often for such a long time that slowly that copper overrides the zinc. Panic disorders just start to develop.
And becomes toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, we need a little copper, but the ratio's got to be right. You know, you think about our water source. They've added fluoride to the water source now in Queensland. I must say I was so happy to move to Queensland after growing up in Sydney, and my father worked for the water board, so I knew a lot of information about that. And I was allergic to fluoride, so I could taste it in the water down in Sydney, and I think it became allergic to it because of the tap water, because I was so sensitive to becoming allergic to foreign matter. Fluoride that they use to add to the water sources isn't equivalent to our nutritional fluoride. It's a synthetic version or a different version. And fluoride competes with iodine. And what that does is the higher amount of fluoride that we get, the lower amount of iodine we can store in our body, and then we end up with hypothyroid conditions. So then that leads to metabolic conditions, memory problems, energy problems, fertility problems, absolutely, you know, all of these terrible things that cause, you know, a complete change in your life. And it could very well be that you've just been exposed to too much fluoride. So you have to be very careful. You don't have to be perfect. And this is probably most important thing to know is you're never going to escape it if you're living in suburbia or you know, a highly densely populated area. You're never going to escape it. So the most important thing you do is be aware of what you need to excrete and actually take things to get it out of your system. So there are many things that you can do. But keep in mind, it's so broad in what it does that we talked about in the past, estrogen dominance in men, which then competes with their testosterone. Now, this estrogen dominance can come from the glass cleaner or the spray and wipe that you've bought, the bleach that you use for the bathrooms, fabric fire retardants on the curtains, on the carpets, the new car deodorizer smell.
The new couches that come.
Yes. So this is your aromatizers that are then not able to convert the estrogens down out of your body is all blocked and you end up with these xenoestrogens that can't escape your body. And once you get that high estrogen to testosterone ratio in men, you get the prostate starting to enlarge. If a man isn't informed of this, they have 20 or so years or more between prostate size changes and it developing into something really sinister. And if they knew, they would be clearing out that estrogen with, you know, there's specific vitamin called indole-3-carbinol, which is in the cruciferous vegetable family, like broccoli and cauliflower, kale, cabbage, Brussels sprouts. Those particular nutrients will attach to those fake estrogens or even the estrogen dominance and reduce them. And then the prostate problems will reduce and it'll stop the growth of the prostate, the overgrowth of the prostate. So, you know, the symptoms start with depression, anxiety, chronic fatigue, apathy, lack of care, loss of appetite, urinary, going to the bathroom more often through the night, or difficulty urinating. Urinating through the night seems to be part of your body trying to detoxify, trying to get things out. So your bladder is an excretory organ. Urination will increase. You see women start to do the exact same thing. Estrogen dominance in women will cause an imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, and that will then cause PMS or terrible cramping or heavy periods or endometriosis or fibroids or fluid retention, weight gain, anxiety and low thyroid mood
problems. And is this all high estrogen or
yeah,
and toxicity?
Yeah.
So all of your toxins, do they generally cause a heightened estrogen level?
Mostly, well, you've got xenoestrogens, okay? Now, that's a group in itself and they are, as I said, the fire retardants, the things that you can smell that are protective to these things or cleaning products, et cetera. So they are the shape plastics, for instance. You know, people, we've moved to BPA-free plastics because the previous forms of plastics in the heat break down to xenoestrogens. So they mimic the shape of estrogen in your body. You drink a lot of water from those plastics for many years and all of a sudden your estrogen's too high, whether it's a male or a female.
And they're still floating around out there too.
Yeah, yeah, they are. So, you know, it's just being aware and knowing what to do about it. As I said, you can get cruciferous vegetable powder that you can add to a smoothie in the morning and that'll be clearing out your estrogen all the time. When it comes to copper and all different minerals or metals like that, you can use something like bentonite clay or charcoal and that will bind those things and remove them out of your body. But it really depends on how much exposure you've had for how long as to how long you need to do that for. But once you get to a nice balance, you shouldn't need to continue to do too much of those things. There are some things that are much more sinister, like mold exposure we were talking about before. Mold exposure can be very difficult to excrete because once it gets a hold of its presence in your body, it will stay there, but it will start releasing its toxins. And you can use the same nutrients or, say, bentonite clays and charcoals and things like that to absorb the toxin of the mold, but you don't get rid of the mold. So it's really important to avoid things like mold. If you see, you know, wherever you're living has patches of mold in the ceiling, you know there's probably a giant, you know, area of of timber framework that's, you know, that's above where you might be sleeping all the time or breathing it in all the time. Or
so here's a question of mold and a cleaning product, for example, that you would use or that some people would use to get rid of the mold. Which is the lesser of the two evils?
Probably the cleaning product. I would say the cleaning product is the lesser because that you can excrete where the mold will actually, as I said, can attach and stay in there for life. Mm-hmm. However, the best form of treatment for mold anywhere really is your essential oils. Mm-hmm. So lemon, myrtle and clove and thyme and, you know, pure essential oils can be the most effective thing to kill mold anyway. Mm-hmm. So bleach doesn't kill mold, it just bleaches it.
Covers it.
Yeah.
Vinegar's a disinfectant too, isn't it?
Well, vinegar and ammonia combinations, mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of old remedies that I know my mother used to use. Mm-hmm. Bicarb soda, all sorts of things. So there's lots of things out there that are just as effective as what you can buy store-bought cleaners, if not better.
Yeah, and the sad part is too, I think it's more convenience these days, isn't it? People see it in a bottle and it's easy to do.
Yeah. You know, I think it's even cheaper if you make your own things. It's just a matter of time. I think it's time. But, yeah, so, you know, if we're thinking of exposure to toxins, there are a lot of toxins out there that cause neurological disorders. So paint solvents, for instance, tobacco smoke. So I've got some patients, and this is where it's really important to know whether you have the gene mutations, because the gene mutations render you unable to detoxify at the same rate as someone who doesn't have those genes. Mm-hmm. So generally I find patients coming to me with chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic migraines, chronic mood problems, chronic neurological symptoms and signs that are so vague that they've been to every specialist under the sun and no one can find out what's wrong. And I'll go through the process of, right, let's remove your food intolerances, let's get your gut bacteria under control, let's make sure you're not low in any nutrients, let's boost your brain neurotransmitter levels. But if they've still got something toxic in their body that their body just cannot get out, obviously we do our gene tests and find out. I always find that the people who are in these chronic states are the people who have the gene mutations. Mm. And when we do, you can do an environmental pollutants and metabolic profile, and that shows all of the systems, urinary metabolites, to show which systems aren't working right. So you can see the Krebs cycle metabolites, which is your cycle that helps you make energy. So that's one part of, you know, what we can have a look at through testing that you might not know exists, but the integrative pathology labs do them all over the world. So I tend to have a look at those things, and then you can get a list of all the chemicals and environmental pollutants that you may have been exposed to all of your life and the levels that you've got. And they will generally give you an incredible description of what that toxin will do to you and will do to the central nervous system, will do to mood and energy levels, and how it breaks or how it compromises the body's ability to make energy inside the cells. It completely blocks your ability to move inside your body, you know, that movement. And once you have a look at that, you can then work out exactly how long it might take to clear that out. When you're clearing it out, it's not just a matter of taking something that attaches to it that is in your bowel. So a lot of these things I mentioned before, charcoal and bentonite clays, et cetera, they're non-absorbable. So when you take them, they go through your digestive system and they come out the other end. You can take other chelating nutrients that actually speed up the detoxification. There's a new science called channelopathy that they started talking about 10 years ago or so, if I remember rightly, where they found certain heavy metals and certain blocking metal agents that have found their way into blocking cellular channels in and out of the cell and taking the place of something like B12. So you can't then get the B12 through into the cell because the channels have been blocked by cobalt, which is a metal, which is produced on production lines, metal production lines that make cereal and make boxed nutrients.
So it comes to us through our foods?
Well, through the packaged goods.
Wow.
So, you know, you've got conveyor belts, you've got factories that are making, you know, thousands and thousands of packets of some sort of, might be oats that they're producing, it might be cereals, or it could be anything. It could be rice grains where they produce the rice or where they package it. But the cobalt is in the metal that is in those machines. So that can rise if you have a lot of packaged goods. Lead used to be in the paints, and I had a young little three-year-old who, when I was treating her, she came in for really severe inflammation in her esophagus, and it turned out she couldn't swallow anything much. She wasn't digesting anymore, and it turned out she had a really incredibly high level of streptococcus, so strep throat that had gone out of control. But in pre-testing her, which I do with every patient, we found that she had an incredibly high level of lead, which is causes neurological toxicity. And, you know, I said this to the mother, you know, it's not usual to see a three-year-old with this much lead. And the mother then said to me, her grandmother, so her mother's mother, had lead poisoning from paint in her late 20s and was wheelchair bound after that.
And what that came through.
And it kept coming through the mother's, wow, through the pregnancies. So metals are one of those things that, heavy metals are one of those things that will keep coming through the generations. And, you know, it can just continue to cause toxicity problems, hormonal problems, blockage problems,
that's
mood problems.
Incredible.
I know.
That it can carry through,
yeah,
generations like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've got chronic fatigue type issues or chronically ill or chronically mood issues, you can't exclude that there are all of these xenoestrogens, xenobiotics, metals, copper, minerals, fluoride, environmental pollutants on the food if you're not eating organic. You don't have to eat organic all the time. We touched on the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, mm-hmm, I think is how it goes. Mm. You can look that up. And things like berries and strawberries and grapes and those things that are sprayed on the vine, they tend to have a great deal more chemicals on them because you're not taking the skin off, you're eating them as they've come off the vine. Where if you're having a rock melon, for instance, or an avocado or a banana, you're taking the skin off, aren't you? So those things, say you go for those things from the normal store, which is going to have a little bit less of the, I mean, it's still going to grow through the plant if it's been preserved since it was little or sprayed since the plant was a seedling, but it will at least reduce the impact and how much you get from that. So copper, fake estrogens, environmental pollutants in paint solvents, automotive fuel, the environmental toxins, you know, you feel like you're bombarded by it. And I remember being in my uni class and learning all of this, and everybody, when we'd heard about all of these different toxins, and everybody's looking at each other going, so what can I eat then? What can I do then? And our university lecture was incredible. She lectured around Australia teaching other practitioners and doctors and whoever. She was a walking encyclopedia. And I remember being in awe of her. And she was saying even hand washing your plates, thinking that you're being environmentally friendly by not using a dishwasher, can leave soap residue from what you're washing it with a detergent that you will then consume if it's not rinsed properly, as opposed to using a dishwasher where it's completely rinsed properly and it's a lot safer.
Thank you, because I say it so often to my husband when he washes the bottles, the kids' bottles.
Yes.
I'll say, that's actually poisoning them if we don't wash the soap off, and he thinks I'm being dramatic.
Yes, yes, yes. No, you're not being dramatic.
Okay, good.
You just, because it's not commonly heard of, it sounds dramatic.
Yes,
no.
It does.
It's true. It's true. So for those of us who are sensitive, those of us with the MTHFR gene mutation, guaranteed that as your life continues and you build up these things, if you've never addressed it, you may find that you end up with chronic type symptoms of illness that just never seem to go away. But there is a remedy to it all. So it's a matter of just doing the right test, identifying it all. You know, people talk about heavy metal exposure all the time. The good old-fashioned naturopaths for the last 50 years or more have been talking about heavy metals. And it's like the more you hear about it, the more desensitized you come to it. So you kind of think, oh, that doesn't matter, that doesn't affect me or whatever. But when you get to that point in your life where things just don't feel well anymore and you don't know why you're doing everything else right, if you can go through and do a screening of all of these things, doing a heavy metal test is as simple as doing a urine test. It is so simple. We do it at no charge for our patients, as for every patient who arrives. So, you know, it's just part of what we do immediately so we know how blocked their liver might be. And then, of course, understanding what where our methods are going to need to be to treat the person. Lastly, because of the gene mutations, the liver methylation process is slowed down, the same as, or whether someone has the gene or not. Someone might not have the gene, but might have been exposed to a lot of stress in their lives, and the nutrients required to, for the brain neurotransmitters to deal with the stress, PTSD type people, adrenal fatigue type people, when they're missing because they're being used up for the stress pathway, they then are not available for the liver's methylation detoxification pathway. And these are amino acids, proteins. Mm. Before, we've talked about three different micronutrient groups, like you've got your vitamins, you've got your minerals, you've got your proteins. Proteins, amino acids are essential for every part of your body as well. And your liver requires a group of different amino acids that are all necessary for that process. And if you're protein deficient, your liver won't methylate these things properly. So chelation therapy, getting rid of these things, sometimes will involve high dose amino acid therapy. So it's just understanding what you're exposed to, how much of it is in your system, and then going through the process of detoxing. So, you know, it can change your life in days. I had one male patient who was probably around 55 and had been a builder, a busy, very energetic, very positive builder, you know, all of his life, worked hard and was very good old-fashioned Aussie bloke. And 5 years earlier, started to suffer with really serious depression almost overnight and had been to endocrinologists. His hormones were skewed. However, there wasn't any consideration for estrogens being high in his system. And this depression had gone on, and he'd heard some of the work that we had done. So he came in to see me. And I was so sure he had adrenal fatigue, that he just was in burnout and his DHEA was really low. When I did his saliva hormone tests, and, you know, he'd only ever had blood tests done in the 5 years earlier, and blood tests are only 1% of your hormones, which I think we've talked about in the past, where saliva has 99% of your hormones, or all of your free hormones we get to see. And there were two things that were abnormal. The first one, yes, his DHEA was very low and his estrogen was very high. And I began him on the Indole 3-carbinol type products, and he went to the GP to get some support with the DHEA. And the DHEA, that took a bit of time to get the compounding done to make it. However, in the meantime, his depression, after about 5 days, he woke up with energy like he hadn't had for years. All of a sudden, he was sleeping through the night again. All of a sudden, his mood was much better. And the only thing that he had done was added that estrogen clearance product for 5 days. I know, it is, isn't it? So, yeah, it could be anything that could be resolved quite quickly, but for some people it can take 6 months to clear out all of their toxins. So you've just got to consider what it feels like. You can get that chronic fatigue type problem, but it can mimic adrenal fatigue. You can wake up through the night tossing and turning, getting hot flushes, male or female, because your liver does a detox between 1 and 3 a.m. So if you're waking at that 1 and 3 a.m. time, you know you've got something going on with the liver, okay? So it can be an indication that something has environmentally affected you.
It's evident that these toxins are unavoidable. A lot of them are unavoidable, but it's comforting to know that the detox process is there and we can all do that. And I feel like, you know, we can make the right choices as far as when you were talking about the water supply and the copper piping and all that kind of thing, you know, getting filtered water at home and those things to lessen that impact.
Mm, absolutely. And just be mindful with filters. I went shopping around. There was only one or two filters on the market that I found that actually cleared copper and fluoride as well.
Right.
And the other filters, the ones that are built in the fridges, they don't clear the full extent of things. So make sure you do your research, make sure you find out what it is that you want to get rid of, because you'll find that they clear common things but not as extreme as you might want to go.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Jodie, for our discussion today. It was enlightening, and I'll certainly be doing a bit of a rehash at home. I'm sure our listeners will be too, and being more conscious of toxins around us that some of us can't really avoid.
In the next episode of the 7 Steps to Freedom from Anxiety, Depression and ADHD podcast series, Jodie covers the topic of brain frequencies and the notion that brain patterns can be learned and developed, that they can cause irregular dopamine or serotonin production and ultimately lead to enhanced emotional distress. If you're enjoying this series, please support us by subscribing to all episodes. If while listening you've heard something that's piqued your interest and have an urge to reach out to Jodie, you can contact her via the clinic at advancedwellness.com.au. And finally, if you're experiencing a personal crisis or are having dark thoughts, please reach out to one of the many services available, such as Lifeline. Lifeline's phone number is 131114.